fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
So, Iran, I guess we're doing this. You might be asking yourself, why? Is it the nuclear program? Is it some calculated geopolitical strategy? Is it some complex diplomatic chess match that our leaders have quietly been engineering for decades? I'm going to tell you what I actually believe is driving all of this. And I need you to stay with me, because the answer to the kind of thing that I'm going to talk about in this episode is going to make your brain want to shut off, want to file this under too insane to be true. But I don't feel like I can talk about much else until we talk about Jesus. I have some pamphlets for you. No, but Jesus, specifically his scheduled return, the opposite of radical Islam isn't white Christian nationalism, as it was taught in my family. It is Mormon jihad. And I know. I said that at Thanksgiving, and my Mormon parents thought that I was exaggerating, but hear me out. As somebody who was raised as an ultra-conservative Mormon with a lot of end times belief, I don't know about you guys, but I have a thousand alarm bells going off, and I really can't move forward talking about much else until we address all that I was raised to know and believe coming true before our eyes. So if you guys don't know, like, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation this month received over 110 complaints from 30 military installations around the world of military officers reporting that their commanding officers and supervisors are telling troops that this war is, quote, entirely about Armageddon, that it's God's plan. And that is the point to bring back Jesus. So we're no longer talking about weirdo fringe people. We're talking about things that are bigger than, you know, one rogue cult or one rogue religious zealot. You know, this is happening across 30 military installations. But is it surprising? Because the same man who stood up in December and said that he was going to make the chaplain corps great again, that guy who announced plans to streamline religious faith codes to reduce the number of faiths considered acceptable under the eyes of the U.S. military, who's been holding weekly Bible studies and monthly prayer breakfasts and inviting defense contractors and high-ranking officials and allies, not as a, like a fellowship, but just more as a loyalty test. Pete Hegseth, you know who I'm talking about. He's acting an awful like you're not an American if you're not Christian, and doing a lot of, are you on the right side of the faith? If you are with us, you got to prove it. President Trump himself, I don't think he's a true believer, put it that way. I think Trump's religion is Trump with a side of whatever keeps him in power. It's not just about Trump. It's about every president that we've ever had. There's plenty of people puppeteering above the president. It goes way higher than that, you know? But I think he has surrounded himself with the most concentrated group of Christian nationalists, of end time believers that you could possibly have in one administration. And I say all of this as somebody who grew up in a very conservative Mormon family. My dad wears a MAGA hat every single day of his life. Sometimes he switches it out for Women for Trump, and sometimes it's Truckers for Trump. But he also wears a yarmulke underneath because he's that aligned with Israel. Like, that's who my family is. I grew up in this. I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for a long time, till I was 30 years old. And Now I see a lot of people who believe the same kind of prophecies running the Department of Defense. So now we're not talking about quirky little bunker preppers and internet jokes and, you know, all of the insane people who are one-off taking their family into the woods. These preppers have are nuclear codes, you know. So people who are not asking, will this make America safer? They're asking, does this move us closer to the fulfillment of prophecy? And that is something that should make everyone, Christian and not Christian, go cold, along with the phrase like, you're becoming Rome. You've become so devoted that your divine mission is now to crucify the person that you claim to follow, and your empire is falling. Like, we're either kind of like on the same page of like, I'm on the dating app sometimes. I'm like, first question is, do we understand the crisis that the empire is falling? Can we proceed from there? Because if you're not on board with that, I don't know where we can go with this. So let's like, the Rome is falling kind of thing. So this is not any longer a metaphor. It's taken out of the weird little cults. This is people really living by the text of their scriptures. And what is being practiced at those prayer breakfasts, at these Bible studies, at these Mormon colleges, all are intertwining with military briefings. And I got to say, this is not red letter Jesus. This is not Sermon on the Mount Jesus. This is not any of the versions of the faith that I recognize from the type of Jesus that I worshiped in Mormonism. But it's Crusades Jesus, who bleeds red, white, and blue. I think it's going to do a lot of harm to a lot of people. And my sister lives next door, and her roommate is Iranian, and I was there as she was screaming and hollering when she heard that the Ayatollah was killed. And I understand the celebration from Iranians, but I think the bigger picture is that our country and other blue and white ones, they don't have the best interest of my Iranian friend and her family. So a lot of people, I think, are fumbling around as to why we are at this war with Iran. And the honest answer is really one that keeps me up at night, because I know how dangerous it is. And it has this critical mass of people in positions of enormous power who believe they are now stagehands for the apocalypse. And they are not trying to prevent the end of the world. They are trying to cause it. And I don't want to fearmonger. I don't want you just to be alarmed for alarm's sake. I think you just need to be awake, because this is not going to be stopped if we keep thinking of it as a fringe movement. And it stopped being a fringe movement as soon as it moved into the West Wing. So my name is Kara Burrell. Sometimes I go by Nuance Ho. Welcome to the Mormon History Hoedown. And I am joined today by my co-host, jumping on over from the days of Timmy Did What. Tim Ballard's a little bit in this episode, but Ryan Fisher, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, glad to be here. Not glad that we have to talk about this, because this is some really scary stuff. And as somebody that was on the inside that got, you know, Tim Ballard's message out to the nation, the Christian nationalism that America is a promised land, to also getting personally an assignment from the second most prominent leader in the Mormon Church at the time, M. Russell Ballard, Quorum of the 12 Apostles president, to push pro-Israel agenda into mainstream culture. I can say firsthand that there is a very concerted effort behind the scenes in the Mormon Church, which we are familiar with, that to push an agenda, a propaganda, an ideology into our politics and into our geopolitical strategy going forward that is not what it's claimed to be. And so this is some really dangerous stuff, especially if you're a Christian and you find value in the message of Christianity, as I do, you're going to want to hear about this, because mm-hmm. it's going to have real world effects.
Yeah, and thank you, Ryan, because you are somebody who we've talked about before. You've platformed Tim Ballard. You used to be a really intense Mormon prepper yourself. I don't think anybody in my sphere knows as much about this subject as you do. So you guys are in for a treat today. Ryan has prepared some slides and a presentation, and we would love to have more comments from the audience, too. So we'll try to throw those up on screen. If you have any super chats, that's great. Help support the show. And helps pay Ryan and make about 1 to 2 episodes a week, whatever we can. Thank you guys so much for your support if you're donors to this channel. If you'd like to be a donor, because we've covered some niche topics on this channel. So we have a donor box link down below. We have a Patreon for Timmy Did What and also Mormon History Hoedown. You can get this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, what have you. But if you want to donate to the show, that'd be amazing too. And also, I know we just ran through a lot of things, but if you haven't subscribed.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
We would really appreciate that as well, and hitting the like button and leaving a comment. All of those things. Okay, so we got that out of the way. You're typing in your numbers into our donor box right now. I know that's already what you're doing, but pay attention. Ryan, let's start with what is the danger? Like I said in my intro, how do we get people to kind of wake up and see how serious this new step into a war with Iran is for our country?
Yeah, well, I know some people would say, okay, there's people out there that are Christians that have, you know, a view that represents a doomsday scenario with Armageddon coming and ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Fine. What's the consequence to me about that? Well, we've crossed over a threshold recently that has real world consequences for some of these very extreme prophetic, wishing their prophetic beliefs, sort of self-fulfilling prophecies that have real world consequences in our lives. And so what I want to talk about today is what that looks like and how is it affecting not only our country and our politics, but a geopolitical effects across the world and things like that. So is this a full screen? I can't tell, Kara.
It's you and me on screen with that. With the slides.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to go into is a quick summary of the Iran conflict and how this is playing out into being a self-fulfilled prophecy by some people that think they are ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. The problem with Iran conflict that we've all been witness to is nobody can really explain why we're doing it with any sort of coherent answer. The expectation from the very beginning was the administration claimed that this was going to forge conditions for the Iranians to seize control of their destiny and overthrow the government. But the reality of that didn't happen. That was never in the cards. Everybody that was in the know with Iran, country of 92 million people that has been led by a religious ideology for the last 40 years, knew that dropping a bunch of bombs on military installations is not going to bring about regime change. And what's so shocking is that anybody would actually consider this as a possibility after we just spent 20 years, over 20 years in Afghanistan, trying to impose a regime change. And after 20 years of putting everything the military had into it to get the Taliban out of office, who ended up in the administration? Taliban. As soon as Americans left, the Taliban took over. And so zero lessons were learned from that, obviously. And so the claims of being a regime change war simply are ridiculous and lack actual credibility of any kind. The objective that was sent to us, there's conflicting rationales. President Trump says we're going to destroy missiles, annihilate Navy, stop proxies. Secretary Rubio said a preemptive defense against an imminent threat to destroy Iran's nuclear shield. So this is going to help Israel. And then Secretary Pete Hegseth said this is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change. And then Prime Minister Netanyahu said forging the conditions for the brave Iranian people to remove the yoke of tyranny. So is this to help America or to help Israel? We're getting conflicting messages.
Or to help the Iranians.
Or to help the Iranians.
Wear the hijab. And I just will add, I'm not going to claim that I'm the smartest person about history and politics and all of those things. But at least from my experience and having a lot of conversations with my sister's roommate, a really sweet girl from Iran. And like I said, she celebrated when the Ayatollah was killed because to her, that's like Hitler being killed. And so I think the celebrations from the Iranian people, because they maybe are not seeing the puppet masters, they're not seeing, you know, other things. I mean, now it might be different now that they're raining oil down on Tehran, but the propaganda now seems to feel like, watching Iranians celebrate, don't you want them to be freed from radical Islam? They don't have to wear the hijab kind of thing. And that propaganda is kind of superseding the logic and the rationale of the stuff you're talking about, where we don't have to ask those questions because look at these people who are being freed. But at the same time, feels like they're bombing places like Tehran that are the most liberal and the most progressive. My friend, she never had to grow up wearing the hijab. She's in a very liberal city. Everyone she knows is super well-educated. And so they're destabilizing and pissing off the people the most in the liberal cities that would be able to do a healthy regime change. And yeah, it just seems like there's so many conflicting narratives with no plan out of this and just a lot of propaganda flying around. So three audiences, one more, no shared objective. Like,
no shared objective. And I mean, if you take into consideration that, think about like a comparison that we might understand is, let's say that some adversary dropped a bomb on Temple Square in Utah, destroyed the top leadership of the Mormon Church. Does everybody that is Mormon stop being Mormon? No, of course not. No. There is a hierarchy that goes from the top all the way down to the bottom. And when the top is vacated, when somebody dies, everybody in the hierarchy just moves up a rung. And that's totally how Iran works. Like Utah is 40-60% secular religious, and Iran's about the same thing. And so the whole structure of the government was built on this hierarchy of the ideology and the religious ideology and religious leaders in place. And so decapitation, no chance of having any sort of regime change. But of course, that's what we're going to get at. That's not what this was about, but it's one of the things that was sold to us. Mm-hmm. So on the ideological front, filling the strategic vacuums, Kara talked about this in her intro, and this is the window that we all need to be paying attention to. Commanders across all branches of the U.S. military reported framing the conflict not as a tactical operation, but as a biblical mandate. There's 200 complaints about this in 50 different installations. And what does that mean? What kind of biblical mandate are we talking about? Well, in this, several emails and other information sent to combat unit commanders, this is what was quoted. President Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth. So that is a very different objective than regime change or neutralizing the nuclear threat, which by according to all accounts was non-existent. In fact, the counterintelligence secretary today, I'm blanking out his name, just today resigned because the intelligence, he said that there wasn't any intelligence to support the fact that Iran was close or pursuing a nuclear weapon. And this was a Trump appointee, and he resigned today in protest that that rationale was being used to attack the Iranian regime. And so, yeah, like this is a developing situation. So the culture at the top, here's how this is trickling down. So Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's normalization of Christian nationalism, including monthly Pentagon prayer meetings and public endorsements of sphere sovereignty, like Kara talked about, trickles down to the direct influence of far-right preachers like Rolf Drollinger, leading weekly White House Bible studies that promote divine mandates for geopolitical alliances. And that concludes in the erosion of church and state separation in the military that provides implicit top cover for extreme unit level rhetoric. Now we're going to get
can
into.
You, can you explain what that slide meant? Because what is that?
Yeah.
Where are we to believe the erosion of church state separation in the military provides implicit top cover church state? So what it's saying is that the whenever you see the word extreme now, I want you to pay attention to it, because extreme doesn't just mean like we don't like them kind of extreme. Extreme means they have the nuclear codes extreme.
And it's all about normalizing religious mandates as justification for governmental policy.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist. And GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
And that's what's been going on for the last 100 plus days of the Trump regime. Is behind the scenes, but we're only getting pictures and windows and glimpses of it into now. And nobody thought that it would have like any sort of real world effect until bombs started dropping on Iran and ships started getting sunk. So let's get back into what does this all mean? How do we know? We need to know what since the religious beliefs and the religious ideology of some of our leaders are being converted into actual policy actions against other countries. Now it's really important to understand what those religious ideologies are in these people that have control the levers of power. So we're going to talk about Das Volt, I think is how you pronounce that, is decoding the modern crusade, how far-right symbology has moved from fringe internet forums into domestic terrorism and the Pentagon. So everybody's familiar with Pete Hegseth. This is a photo of him that shows on his right arm a couple of different tattoos that we're going to talk about that identify what his religious ideology is and explains a lot on why and what we're doing today. So the first one is this five wounds of Christ, this cross that
let me make this full screen.
Also called the Crusader's Cross. This is on his left breast. The Crusader's Cross is a direct reference to the Crusades of the Middle Ages. The Crusades, if you know your history, are a bunch of basically militias ran by religious zealots in Europe, went down to take down Knights Templar, went down to take out the Muslim-controlled Holy Land and secure Christians. One of the justifications early on was to secure safe passage and safe residence for Christians in the area, but ultimately they sought to control Jerusalem and completely wipe out and defeat the Muslim influence. And so it was a holy war between Christianity and Islam. So that Crusader's Cross, as its nickname, is on Hegseth's left breast. The Deus Vult is an explicit alt-right battle cry. There is no version of Deus Vult that means anything other than Crusader fanboy, Crusader victory, Crusade. And that's what's also on there. And then there's a cross that references Matthew 10:34 that says, "I did not come to bring peace, but sword." So this is a deliberate selection of militant rather than peaceful scripture, even though what Christ was talking about in that phrase was not an actual literal sword, because this has crosses over into Jewish ideology, because the Jews have prophesied and believed that the Messiah was going to come in the future and wipe out all of their enemies. And when Jesus Christ came, he claimed to be the Messiah. They're like, no, this is no way this could be the Messiah. The Messiah comes and he's going to take a sword and cut down all of our enemies, which at that time were the Romans. And Jesus Christ didn't do anything against the Romans. He didn't cut down. He didn't take vengeance and revenge and slaughter anybody. And so that's one of the principal reasons, one of the main reasons that Jews had a really hard time accepting Jesus Christ and ultimately rejected him as Messiah, because he didn't come with a vengeful, genocidal, maniac sword that wiped out all their enemies, as they supposed. So Christians like Pete Hegseth and others have taken some of the statements out of context like this to reference actual physical violence, which for me, that is a complete 180 opposite. It's an antithesis of everything that's wrong about the misinterpretation of scripture. That if you know anything about Jesus Christ and his teachings, taking a sword to your enemies is the absolute opposite of what you're supposed to do. But we continue. And that's on his right arm up there. So this other symbol below the Deus Vult is called the kafir symbol, which is Arabic, which says infidel or non-believer. And this is what the militants and all the insurgents in the Iraq conflict and ISIS and everything call the invaders in their land. They call them infidels. It's a slur, it's an insult, and is used by Al-Qaeda and Islam, and is adopted by the U.S. War on Terror veterans like the Proud Boys as an aggressive symbol of defiance against Muslims. That's all it is. It's like they're embracing the insult, and it's on their right. He has it on his right arm, which is where you hold your sword or where you hold your gun, where you take vengeance upon your enemies with. And the explicit insight is displaying this term as the main by the man overseeing the U.S. military is viewed as an explicit signal of Islamophobia and hostile stance towards Muslim Americans and their allies. And this crusader motifs have been really prevalent in pop culture and recent, and it's being pushed in video games and movies and TV shows and series and stuff like that as symbols of aggression and symbol of imperialism, as in the case of the Vikings. And so we're seeing it a lot. And here's a graphic that I made that shows how the spiritual war of geopolitical framework crosses over with these three different things. And there's people that we've been covering on the Timmy Did What podcast that Kara and I have been talking about forever for the last 2 years, that has some of these extreme ideologies, named Tim Ballard, who is been frequently over in Israel advocating for Israel, justifying the Palestinian conflict, justifying violence against ISIS and against the Syrian regime and against people that are attacking the Druze community in southern Utah. What he's doing is he's framing all of this as a holy war of Christians versus Muslims. And he's somebody that also wears on his hat the Jerusalem cross, the Crusader's cross. And so there's people in our culture right now, like Tim Ballard, that are taking this message, running with it, pushing it out there, and trying to frame people's mind into a holy war. So some of the key tenets of this is America is a divinely ordained covenant nation. Tim Ballard has a whole series of books about this called The Lincoln Hypothesis, Washington Hypothesis. Right. I was tasked by the Mormon Church, by President M. Russell Ballard, to make a TV show about these concepts for a national audience. That was a personal assignment I was given because the Mormon Church wants these messages out there that America is a divinely ordained covenant nation. And as a covenant nation, there's rules that you need to serve God or be swept off that land. I mean, that's the message of the Book of Mormon, right?
It's wild. It's insane. It's my favorite part of Mormonism. It's what I grew up in. It's called like the Heartlander theory. They have conferences. They have so many books. Not any of them academically published, obviously. My parents are big fans. And Ryan was very much involved in this scene. Rod Meldrum, we had him on Mormon Stories, who believe that this American continent is truly Israel part two, that there was a covenant on the land in Israel, and then everyone scattered, and then there was a boat of people, Lehi and his kids. That's what the Book of Mormon's about. It's their journey to the Americas, and they write their stories about all the wars they did and how Jesus came back in their golden plates, and they buried him underground, and then hundreds of years later, Joseph Smith got them out of the ground and then was like, oh my gosh, this is words from ancient prophets. And now I'm going to make it into the Book of Mormon, and everyone's going to be converted even further to this idea of American exceptionalism, that this is a covenant promised land, that God's like Israel, and also Israel too, the Americas, seed a shining sea. So really believing that these ancient Jewish Native American Indians lived all across these American plains is so part and parcel to the upbringing that I had and the communities that Ryan was involved in. And now this, nobody is more primed for American exceptionalism and this white Christian nationalism than Mormons. And I love so many aspects of Mormonism. Trust me, I do. But this is the scariest, most serious one. You know, you can have the nice family picnics and like Mormon neighbors and stuff. Not all of them, I'm going to say, believe in this kind of doomsday prophecies. But for those that do, especially our politicians in Utah.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist. And GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Especially people who have influence like Glenn Beck and Tim Ballard. This is stuff to take extremely seriously because, like Ryan's explaining, it's the same thing that's in the White House, just without the backing of the Book of Mormon. They do it all by the sheer will of the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have, if you want to know like exactly what this message is all about, I did a TV show 10 years ago called Nephite Explorer. And I have on a different YouTube channel called Nephite Explorer, N-E-P-H-I-T-E Explorer. The first season of that show, which features Tim Ballard, and I'm in Israel talking about this covenant land, and I'm in New York at Federal Hall with Tim Ballard, and he's explaining what this covenant land is. At that time, I embraced this message. I obviously don't anymore. I think it's the most dangerous thing in the world. It's the most dangerous message. It's the justification for genocide and war and killing. But I left it up on my YouTube channel from 10 years ago just so that people can reference what this message is about and see what it is. So you can check that out if you want. Maybe we'll put a link in the description about that if you want to see that. Mm-hmm. Not that I promote that or I want people to see it, but it does explain this message that Kara's talked about, the covenant land being the most important, and there's rules on that land that you need to serve God or you'll be swept off. So you need to advance your religion and subject your enemies or you'll be killed yourself. That's what it boils down to. And so it only breeds extremism, and extremism that leads to violence, as we're going to get into. So
Mormon jihadism.
Yeah,
my dad Mormon was jihadism. Like, my dad's like, isn't that exaggerating a little bit? And I'm like, give me a couple months. I'll make a podcast about it for you, Pop. And I just wanted to read a couple comments. Thank you, Becky. Dude, I totally watched Ryan's Nephite Explorer show religiously. I ate all this Heartlander American Covenant stuff like it was going out of style. Glad my eyes were open, much by you, Kara. Yeah, I'm glad that you've reformed and you're here to be alive, to see the end of the world nonetheless. Sorry about that. If you want to stick with me. I'm finishing up my Mormonize Me project that I've been telling you guys about. And I do have a solution out of all of this hellscape. I feel really good about everything. So make sure you subscribe to this channel for my next updates. And we also got $100 super chat. Unbelievable. Thank you so much, J7BQVB, for the 100 bucks. I love that you're covering this. If you guys love that we're covering this too, please leave a thumbs up. So obviously, we might get some pushback on this, but I really feel like there's so many people from even within the religious camps, within the right wing, people who might see us as enemies before. I'm listening to Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens like I never have before. You know, I'm like, it is time to unite. I heard all kinds of right wing commentators I normally would have never listened to before saying, everyone put down your tribalism and we have to unite on one thing. And it's no wars for Israel, basically. Okay. Thank you guys so much for your support. You're amazing. All right, Ryan, let's get back into synthesis, the new Christian nationalism.
Yeah. So here's the architecture of extremism that's playing out right before our eyes right now. There's a mythological history, 19th century romanticism of pure white Europe, that's ordained by God, that's chosen by God. This is like in American history, it's what we're taught is that the founding fathers were all led by God. They're inspired by him. And that's like kind of the basis. In Europe, it's the kings and queens are chosen by God, ordained representatives on earth, as well as the Pope and things like that. So all these people elevating their own prominence of their own historical leaders into divinely appointed leaders. And then the internet radicalizes that through memes and 4chan and creates domestic terrorists, finds domestic terrorists searching for an aesthetic to justify their anger and the things they want to do. But there's plausible deniability, co-opting religious symbols to hide violent nationalism in plain sight. Nobody's going to come out. Peacock Seth is not, well, he kind of is going to come out and say, our purpose here is to wipe Muslims off of the face of the Holy Land of Israel. You know, he won't say it like that, but through symbolism and the people that know what those symbols mean, that's the rallying cry. That's the messaging. That's how they organize their like-minded people together. And it comes out in theocratic militarism and Hegseth's policy, purging the military, defying the Geneva Conventions, like purging the military. What we're talking about there is he's like anti-woke. He's made all sorts of policy changes to be anti-woke, from no elective gender affirming surgeries to changing the homosexual don't ask, don't tell policies and things like that. Defying Geneva Conventions and also treating progressive as infidels as well. So the holy war against Muslims is also holy war against secularism and leftist ideology, as they put it. And the takeaway is that it replaces democratic ideals with theocratic militant absolutism. Theocratic meaning it's based on theology. We're talking about an ideology, a religious ideology, not a democratic republic-based, constitutional-based belief and governmental system. We're talking about a theocratic, a theology that's driving the actual policy of these changes. So,
hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Great. Absolutely nailing it. Isn't Ryan nailing it right now? Are you right if I throw in a clip of Lindsey Graham talking about the war?
Dude, please.
Then we can react to that. Just want to make it a clip show too.
This is a religious war. Who wins it at the end of the day? Do the radical Islamic terrorists who want to kill all the Jews because God told them to? Who want to kill me because I'm an infidel? Who want to purify Islam to reject moderation and make everybody a jihadist? This is a big deal. I'll deal with Section 230. So what we're facing right now is a moment of decision that will set the course of the future of the Mideast for 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's really revealing because by
what?
By he's framing it as a holy war right there. I know that's what I'm reading into it. How do you take those comments?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that was divine timing for me to say, I think I have a clip of Lindsey Graham saying the exact thing that you were just saying, that this is about aligning ourselves with one particular type of Jesus who is everyone who's against that is all part of the infidel class. I'm like, you were speaking English versions of what you say radical jihadists talk like. Like everyone who is not religious like you, who doesn't believe the same things about abortion and LGBTQ rights and things like that, everybody is against you. And this is going to be like a reclamation of our American covenant for the next 1,000 years, that we're actually going to be setting something up, ushering into a new era, a new epoch, that Christ will be coming back. Okay. That when he says the 1,000 years language, my alarm bells go off and I'm like, the what? Like, you mean the millennium language? So yeah, religiously coded all over the face in neon bright lights is what I heard from that. Like, again, not trying to fearmonger, but guys, after what just happened for the last 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, please, no. No wars for Israel. No wars for oil. Not another Vietnam. Not another draft. Ooh, I think about the young men in our life that could possibly be drafted. Do you think they're going to do a draft? Because I really think they're going to do a draft. I really think that they don't know how to stop making bad choices at this point. So,
Yeah, I hope not. I got two boys that could be drafted. And if it's for a religious ideology that is really messed up and unfounded, then that we're headed into a really, really bad situation. So I hope we don't get to that. But the trajectory is that, in fact, I have on here a slide at the end of Erica Kirk, because she was just appointed to the Air Force board. And she is somebody that has a huge following among young people, young Christian people that are politically mm-hmm. active. And
you're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
The messaging here, I think a lot of people are talking about this. The takeaway is that Erica Kirk is being appointed to a military board as a recruiting agent for the draft, or even just a straight up recruiting agent for rallying the Christian base of young people that Turning Point has access to for military action.
I never thought of it that way. I've thought of every single angle of everything Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's assassination, Israel, Iran, Epstein files. I have been an avid listener, but I have never put that together. Did you guys put that together? That would be part of her role. And if it wasn't her, it would have been Charlie if he didn't come out against the war in Iran and start changing his views about Israel and donors and so forth, which may or may not have led to his assassination. If you guys have comments, please leave where you stand on that. I've learned not to get involved unless I want a firestorm coming at me. But yeah, I had never put that together. That TPUSA's goal long term, why do they have so many billion-dollar backers? It's not just because they want young people to love America. They want people to love America and die for Israel.
Yeah, just think about it. TP, Turning Point USA, was the largest influence for young Christian, politically active young people. And their leader, Charlie Kirk, had an evolution of his beliefs, and he ended up coming out in opposition to Israel, in opposition to these forever wars. And he would have been so politically against the Iran conflict that's a problem. And now his wife becomes, after he dies, he's assassinated, his wife takes his place, and she is very pro-Israel, and she gets appointed into a military position in the United States military by President Trump. Like, what the hell is going on there? It seems to be, I don't know. If there's another explanation, please tell me. But a lot of people are speculating that it's because she's going to be part of this recruiting effort for the Battle of Armageddon that's imminent, that's coming down the path.
I am scared beyond my wits now. That's so chilling. Okay. All right.
Well, let's keep going. We have to keep going because, like, we need to dive a little bit deeper into Pete Head's Seth here. So jumping back into the mainstreaming of crusader mentality. What happens when the violent iconography of the fringe becomes the inked identity of the U.S. Secretary of Defense nominee, Piketseth? Well, here is what he said in his own words. Our present moment is much like the 11th century. We don't want to fight, but like our fellow Christians 1,000 years ago, we must. We need an American crusade. So what he's saying here is He's not pulling any punches. We need an American crusade. The crusades were Christians against Muslims, Christianity versus Islam. And it was a war of violence for control of what? The Holy Land. Like, that's the, and the crusades lasted so long and resulted in so many deaths. And Pete Hegseth is saying we need an American crusade, just like what happened in the 11th century. So this should scare the shit out of every single American that is living and breathing right now, that is watching our military send all of our assets to the Middle East. It's not for regime change. It's not even for to deter the nuclear threat against Israel. This is the interests of the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States right now, is to launch an American crusade.
Yeah. Will this be a good time for a Timmy clip?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Let's, Tim explains the ideology behind this, unfortunately, better than anyone else, because he's an extremist that was born from this ideology. So, yeah, you got one queued up. Go ahead.
Yeah. He says, it's okay because we're going to win this war because God's on our side.
And let us now declare the acceptable year of the Lord, the Lord's vengeance, to come upon the wicked, to bring liberty to the captive and comfort to those who mourn. Make the end time covenant, guys. Isaiah 55 tells you it's time. It's time right now. And we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing.
The end times are coming. We're going to win this thing. Even if, I mean, if you guys watch Predictive History with Professor, what's his name, Jang? I love Jang, that channel. And I've been watching him a lot. And, you know, if somebody knows more than about this than me, please go ahead. But it seems like quite the unwinnable war. Seems like Israel and America are teaming up against a power that has stockpiles of drones upon drones, and we are going to be running out of our ammunition really quickly, and putting boots on the ground is not like Iraq, and has, what, four times as many people in Iraq and Iran, and it's mountainous, and the places in which that you'd even want to be fighting are in the mountainous regions of, you know, different enclaves of different Islamist groups. It seems like just a war to deplete our resources and destabilize the Middle East, so that the greater Israel project can move forward and Israel can become the superpower of the Middle East. And if that doesn't happen, nonetheless, our gas prices are going to be skyrocketing, inflation's going to be skyrocketing, and we're going to be having what they say, short-term pain for long-time gain. That's the talking point that's been going all around Fox News and so forth lately.
Yeah.
That short-term pain, long-term gain, I really did not agree to that. I really did not notice Congress voting on that. I am not in favor of this religious war that is there to destabilize the Middle East and kill a lot of people. Really just spent the last 20 years of my life hoping that we'd never had to do that again, especially based on false flag principles. Really worried about another false flag event, like really, really worried about the future of our country in this short-term pain for long-term gain. Salvation? Jesus Christ return? I'm not on board with that. Not on board with that.
Yeah, well, let's just lay out how delusional that is. Like, Iran is bigger than Iraq. They are more unified religiously. They have a coercive, like, Iraq was unified behind a dictator that didn't have the religious ideology, the strength of that brings, that the Ayatollah brought. They have a mountainous terrain that is pretty much a perfect defense. And they also have allies, major powerful allies with Russia and China backing them up. So to launch a war against them and to think that we could win it is so delusional. It can only be explained by what you just played. Tim Ballard is, oh, we're going to win this. We're going to win this thing. It's inevitable. We're going to win this because God's on our side. And the reality of the situation is they're walking into an absolute slaughter if they really believe that. And it makes for delusional decision-making, like delusional decision-making, when you think God's on your side, when he's not, or when there is no righteous actual endeavor going on.
Absolute hubris. Delusional. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what predictive history talks about, is hubris is what America has in spades right now. Haven't taken accounting of what made us lose all of the last wars. So don't think we won in the Middle East. Don't think we won in Vietnam. Right. So we have a lot of wounds to lick before we're out pushing around people in the Middle East, if that's even what we want to do. But hubris, and another word for hubris would be, you know, end of times prophecies, knowing that your God is the one who's going to save humanity and that there's nothing you can do because you're still going to be saved. I mean, like a literal rapture, a literal Mormonism. We believed that there was the rainfall that caused the flooding of the earth with Noah's Ark, and the earth was baptized with water once, and now it's going to have to be baptized by fire before God returns. You know, there's stories of Jesus Christ coming down, not in so much peace and glory. He's coming down like Book of Mormon Jesus, ready to fly open volcanoes and tornadoes and cast people into the sea that don't worship him. Nice Jesus is not on his way, according to Mormon theology and, you know, Mormon scripture.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'm going to reread just that last slide because it's so important. Our Peak Hegseth, in his 2020 book, wrote, "Our present moment is much like the 11th century. We don't want to fight, but like our fellow Christians 1,000 years ago, we must." He said, like, there's no option. Like, if you're a Christian, you must fight. We need an American crusade. And this is in 2020. So when Pete Hegseth was nominated as Secretary of Defense, people are like, what the hell is this guy doing in the office? Like, he's completely unqualified. He's a Fox News host. He served in the military, but he has no leadership position anywhere close to any sort of significant leadership position. Why was he selected by President Trump? And I think it's because of this, because of his religious ideology that can be used and twisted to advance the war agenda of the deep state. President Trump. And so, like, if people really believe, like, I think Tim Ballard probably really believes we're going to win this thing, God's on our side, because he's that kind of delusional person. Whether Pete Hegseth or President Trump or any others, or Netanyahu or whoever, believe that God's on their side or not, it kind of doesn't matter, because the messaging that they're framing this holy war as, like Lindsey Graham said, is a dog whistle to Christians. It's talking about, it's using scriptural biblical language to signal to Christians who they are, that they're on God's side, that they're the ones chosen by God to lead this crusade. And so whether they believe it or not, I don't care. Because the result is they're using it to manipulate the beliefs of Christians, of this white national Christian base, to rally behind what they're doing, even though it's absolutely suicidal. It's wrong. It's against Geneva Conventions. It's an invasion. It's killing people. And it's not going to result in any of the things that they say it will.
So can I play one more clip? Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that will not work out the way that they think it will, we're talking about me and Jesus, nice Jesus. Tim Ballard, again, this is funny because this is not a Timmy Did What podcast. We already owned him last week by showing that he admitted through his lawyer that he had consensual sex all over the world with his personal assistant. We already owned that MFR already last week. So this is just about Tim Ballard, who is the person saying all of this quiet part out loud, right? Like, I've searched and scoured the internet for as many people as I can. And you know, there's the crazy preachers who Trump has in his cabinet. But as far as the ones that have millions of followers that aren't in Trump's, you know, inner circle as much as they could be in the last administration right now, Tim Ballard, and for that part, Glenn Beck, is really an active voice about what the quiet part that they say out loud, what they're actually trying to implement. And so I'm not trying to talk about Tim Ballard just because we want to talk about what a sex fiend abuser he is. His ideology of what's going to save him and what people, the the way that he is speaking to his audience and connecting with them, like Ryan's saying, and telling them kind of who they are, what side that they're on. This is important stuff. So in terms of what they say will happen that's not going to happen, this pisses me off to no end. Tell me what you think of this clip, Ryan.
And other remnants, there's tribulations that happen. There's an exodus that happens, and the land gets renewed, and the people gather again to Zion and to Jerusalem, okay? So why is this interesting? Why is this an important commentary for what Tucker's talking about? Because he's trying to box in Governor Huckabee to say that this land is only for the Jews, and we'll just do DNA testing. Well, you know what? You can do that if you want. It's going to come back a lot to Jewish people and others, probably not. But it doesn't matter if you're looking at the end times prophecies, because Isaiah 56, for example, like all through Isaiah, but Isaiah 56 is very clear that this new covenant that's going to offer the land and the blessings of liberty, protection, offspring, prosperity. It's a beautiful covenant that is the end time covenant. Who gets to have it? Everybody.
Oh, lucky us. Okay. No,
lucky us.
No fear. As long as we believe in his end times prophecy, we all get entitled to it. Mm-hmm. Just as long as we believe in the Jesus that he and Jewish people believe in. Break that down for me for a second, Ryan, because that is one of the biggest lies I feel like people within this camp are perpetuating, that everything is going to be fine because this Jesus is for everybody.
So here's the timeline. In order for Jesus to come and a utopia to be set about on earth, for Zion to be established, and everybody, the lion lays down with the lamb, and righteousness reigns supreme, in order to get to that, we have to wade through what's called the trial of affliction, or there's a lot of names in the Bible where it's a period of destruction, also called the apocalypse, where there's wars and rumors of wars, where there's pestilence and destruction, and all these bad things happen. But it's okay, because we're going to come out the other end of the tunnel and Christ will return. And so in order to get to there, we have to go through all this bad stuff. And I swear that the Trump regime and Netanyahu and Israel knows that that's in the psyche, and that's been programmed into Christians. And so they launch a war with Iran. Who knows? China get brought into it. Russia's involved in it. And it becomes a regional war. Nuclear weapons start being used at a tactical level, and then maybe at a full-on ballistic missile level. Things get really bad, and they're priming us for it to get really bad by framing this as a holy war and then referencing that this is what's needed to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, go back to the first slide, one of the first slides I put up there. The military officers were being told that Trump has been chosen by God to usher in Armageddon and pave the way for the return of Jesus Christ. They're already playing that message. They're already playing that message to the officers of the United States military, priming us to be accepting of really horrific bad things that are going to happen, because it's going to be okay because the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is a fallacy that almost every generation of Christians has fell for. The very first generation of Christians, the very first church, they were told that Jesus Christ will come, will return, and they believed and they looked forward to the day that he would come, and they believed that it would happen within their life, within their lifetime, that he was going to go away for a short period of time and then come back. Mormons during Joseph Smith's time also thought that Jesus Christ was going to be returned. Joseph Smith prophesied that he received a revelation that he would not turn, I think it was 77, before he would see the face of Jesus Christ, and then taught people that Jesus Christ was going to come, I think it was like 35 at the time. So in sometime in the next 45, 50 years was going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what Joseph Smith told people. And so the first generation of the Mormon church, they also thought Jesus Christ was going to come back during their lifetime. And so every Christian, just about every Christian group in every time period, read the prophecies in the book of Revelation about the apocalypse and the return of Jesus Christ, And because we are so egocentric, so myopic, that we believe that it's going to happen within our lifetime. And so political people like Benjamin Netanyahu, and President Trump and Pete Hegseth and everybody knows that that's programming, and they can co-opt that program. They can hijack that programming to get people to accept pain, because it will ultimately lead to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and our world will be set right, and utopia will reign. However, that's a fallacy that almost every Christian generation has fallen for. That's happening in their lifetime, and with devastating consequences. So,
perfect summary. Thank you.
I just want to warn everybody to like what's going on, what I'm seeing going on, what Kara's seeing going on, and your religious beliefs, your sincere religious beliefs about yearning for the second coming of Jesus Christ, are being hijacked to accept really devastating consequences for the world and for humanity. That's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't really know what power that we have except for Viva la Revolucion. Viva la Revolucion. I don't speak Spanish. Viva la Revolucion. I was going to interrupt you and say, Benjamin.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
And Milikowski, I think that's his real name. It's from Poland. Okay, Ryan, do you want to take us through the rest of your slides?
Yeah, I just want to make one more point. How this is not dangerous simply because it's going to lead, they're like self-fulfilling the prophecy of Armageddon. But this rhetoric, this crusader's call to violence has already led to mass murder. In Norway, just in 2011, Anders Breivik murdered 77 people. He emailed Templar Manifesto, obsessed with the battle cry of Vienna, claimed to fight Islamic suppression. Then in 2019 in New Zealand, you've probably heard about these events, but you don't know the religious motivation, the ideology that led these people to commit these mass murders. In New Zealand, 2019, Brenton Tarrant murdered 51 people in two mosques, painted weapons with references to Christian-Muslim conflicts, quoted Pope Urban II, cited Breivik in his Great Replacement Manifesto. So this kind of rhetoric from Pete Hegseth and the administration fuels domestic extremism. And this was on the right here. This has been identified by the FBI. FBI Director Chris Wray made a public statement where he said, here you get somebody who just wants to hurt people and is trying to figure out what the most inspiring excuse is, and they gravitate towards crusader, white Christian, national justification, often using biblical references. And the output of that is domestic terrorism. So it's a threat to us right now on an existential level with our government, but also on a societal level on smaller stages where extremists can be radicalized by the Crusades, and then they use the Crusades as a romanticized excuse for bloodshed. And there's a whole generation, I'm telling you, I got kids that play video games, there's a whole generation right now that is being influenced by crusader ideology. I mean, when I was a teenager, I loved swords. I went on a mission, LDS mission to Poland. I brought back medieval swords. There's a romanticism about being a knight and having swords that is really cool to teenagers and young kids. And that can be co-opted to or hijacked into street and steered towards extremism if you have people like Pete Hegseth doing that, which they are. And this dose fault is, let's just make no bones about it, it's a blueprint for violence. There's no way of reading this tattoo that Pete Hegseth has, that this isn't about violence. He cannot play the misunderstood Christian. He's violent. And symbols are never just symbols. They are the blueprints for action. When the aesthetics of the fringe reach the halls of power, the myth of the crusade threatens to become a violent reality. And here's just an overview of how this is looking with military purges. Pete Hegseth advocated for firing woke military leadership, specifically targeting Joint Chiefs Chairman Senator General Brown and the DEI initiatives, the diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, scrapped all of those. They've also gone after, a lot of them. And then Women in Combat explicitly opposes women in frontline combat roles, claiming it makes fighting more complicated. International law openly advocates for ignoring the Geneva Conventions to win according to our rules. They're writing their own rules. Domestic Targets frames the military as an instrument for impending civil war against leftists, globalists, and progressives. So I'm seeing some of that. And here's a picture of his tattoos, the Jerusalem cross that we talked about on his chest. And then it leads to people like this, Tim Ballard, that issued all sorts of statements that say, read the end time prophecies in Isaiah 57, Isaiah 66. This is all foretold as happening. And so the summary of this crisis is on three fronts. It's the ideological front, a strategic vacuum filled by fanaticism. We already talked about 200 military whistleblower complaints filed regarding Armageddon rhetoric across 50 different installations. The economic front, global energy prices have taken a huge hit. It's affecting, you know, it's steering us towards recession in many other countries. And if you don't think that this is a big deal, just it's not just about gas prices. Iran provides 15 to 20% of the oil to China. So that is a major supplier to China. Right. China needs access to that oil. America attacks Iran. Iran closes the Strait of Hormuz, and that cuts off oil reserves to China. That is a strategic importance that could really drag China into this war, and it becomes a full-fledged World War III. The same thing happened in World War II. The Japanese felt that they were compelled, they had no other choice to attack America and take out the American Pacific Fleet because America cut off their gasoline, their oil reserves, their oil supply line. And without oil, your economy, everything grinds to a halt. And while we can't control cutting off all of China's oil, this does take a major hit to their economy. And so the geopolitical strategy is like non-existent, and it could really drag the bigger players into this war. Then on the geopolitical front, an expanding open-ended ground war, the U.S. embassies in Riyadh and Kuwait struck by drones, and Israel seizes new territory in southern Lebanon. Israel is launching ground forces into Lebanon, headed north. Of course, this is framed as, again, a holy war on their front. And then we just talked about, where is this going? Erica Kirk was appointed to Air Force Academy Board of Visitors by President Trump. She's now an ambassador for the Air Force. And why would he tap the Turning Point USA, somebody that is highly regarded and revered and has an influence over Christian young politically active people? Why would he tap her into Air Force? Could it be because they're trying to prepare the way for a recruitment of people that hold the same values that as Pete Hegseth, or that they can be influenced or persuaded to fight a holy war, mm-hmm. fight an ideological holy war? And young people who, I mean, I have three adult kids now that they're just so full of passion for being on a crusade of something to either advance their faith mm-hmm. or to change the world in some meaningful way. They're just like They're just so eager. They're jumping at the opportunity to do something with their lives. And I applaud them for that. It's wonderful to see that kind of ambition in young people. However, I fear that people like these will hijack that ambition by feeding them religious ideology, rhetoric, and get them to support a holy war that they've already launched against Muslims mm-hmm. and Islam in the Middle East mm-hmm. With very detrimental effects. We're talking about casualties, bloodshed, economic ruin, and potentially a nuclear world war followed by a nuclear winter and mass starvation of famine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the trajectory that we're on if we don't wake up to what's happening. So
heavy.
The question that I have for our audience and for everybody out there is, are we okay with our leaders waging a war against Muslims, a new crusade based on religious ideology, and using the United States military to wage that war to self-fulfill prophecies about subjugating Muslims to Jesus Christ? Are we okay with our government doing that? Are you okay with that? That's the question. And if you're not okay, we need to stand up and get this message out and do something about it. Because that's the trajectory we're on. And they're not even hiding it.
It's so just chilling. It's just so chilling. It is such a hellscape. Thank you, Ryan. If you guys have any super chats to send in to say thanks for this presentation, if you appreciate it, if you want to hear more things like this, if you have questions, please leave them in the comments. And we hope to do more follow-ups like this. There's so much to talk about on this subject. This was the fastest overview that we could do, trying to keep it to an hour. You're welcome, guys. Any questions in the super chats or in the comment section, and we'll try to answer them as soon as we can. Because this is not a topic that's going to go away. I hope it is, but I don't think it is. I think this is what has been ramping up, in my estimation, for at least, I don't know, 30 years, putting puppets and different things in place so that this means could be brought about, wouldn't you say? So it's unfortunate. I also think about, you know, my nephews that just got home from a mission, and you hear about wars and drafts. You think of Vietnam. You think about, you know, there's a clip of this young man in Vietnam saying, "What would you say to future generations?" And he looks at the camera and he's like, "Don't send your sons to war to finish a fight that politicians started." Similar thing. Don't send your sons and daughters to die in a war that religious demagogues have started. Mm-hmm. So whether it was for the cause of, you know, radical Islam or the cause of radical white supremacist Christian nationalism either, I think it's two sides of the same coin. And I think the answer is people, I don't know, do we need to put LSD in the water? Do you guys just need to chill the freak out and know that it's all peace, love, and good vibes, and that there is evil among this world? I am becoming more religious by the day, really believing that there is some kind of dark, dense force that wants to suck the energy out of each of us for their own means and for their own purposes, for money and for power. And there's going to be a lot of scary stuff going on, but I do take my pointers from good religious teachings, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or what have you, that the kingdom of God is within, y'all. The kingdom of God is within. You cannot 1,000-pound bomb a child in Palestine your way to salvation. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. So the kingdom of God, it is within. And when we stop looking at the things that separate us, I know it sounds cliched, but I honestly have had like a second spiritual awakening since mid-January. I had my second existential crisis and a second kind of spiritual rebuilding and awakening that just keeps telling me that this is the revolution now. Like, it is people having these conversations, saying what we will and won't put up with from this point forward. And it might have to get really bad before people see how bad it can get, before we implement different levers of power that's really controlled by the people and not by the elites. So I feel positive that people will come together in their communities. They will stand up for their immigrant neighbors, for their neighbors that believe different things, because at the end of the day, nobody wants to fight wars on behalf of a foreign nation. Nobody wants to send our tax dollars to rebuild nations that aren't ours. Nobody wants regime change in a country half around the world that isn't a threat to us. And I think there's far more things that unify us than divide us right now. And I think we've gotten sick of the cliches of unifying. But when I hear Nick Fuentes saying stuff like, you know, no more left and right, no more Democrat, Republican, this is either you are truly pro-America or you're pro-Israel. You are pro-America. You are pro-spending our money here at home and supplying the taxpayers with the things that we actually want, like infrastructure and education and healthcare and things like that. Like, the dividing lines are happening right now, and I really hope that they're happening over love. That's what I'm feeling right now. So I've had a second spiritual awakening to, honestly, I don't even want to talk about what makes Mormons out to be bad people, or a lot of other content creators about what, you know, makes Mormonism so terrible and such a freak show and so traumatic. I want to help people out of that trauma place into healing so that we can stop bickering back and forth about who said what in history. Da, da, da. I feel like it's time to get your healing under wraps, to charge forward with a new type of mantle, that there are unifying things that we all have to put on our backs and charge forward with as one united front. So I hope moving forward, you guys will hear more content and support it around that kind of message of growth, rebuilding, how to have better conversations, how to understand people who are different. This entire live stream was not to say how freaky and stupid Mormons are. It's to say what, how serious it is that we take this threat for what it is. Not to divide ourselves from Mormons, but to ask for better, to ask for our politicians to do better, to ask our leaders to do better, and to unify under love. That would be my final message. So it's not just a religion anymore. There is an alternate reality that has taken over the steering wheel of the American empire. And now the question is, are they ready to burn it all down to see their savior, and who is left to stop them? So a bug's life. A lot of all of us ants are more powerful than the crickets who want to control us. So I am so grateful that I have this platform for my voice to be able to get that out there, for Ryan's presentation to be able to get out there. I send a good energetic feeling to all of you that this is all taken not to scare you, but to truly unite us into pushing into a different type of revolution. Fair enough. Is that, am I overspeaking there? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I just add that I can't remember who it was that said, bad people are going to do bad people, but to get good people to do bad things, you need religion. And what we're talking about is good people that mean well, good Christian people that that believe in God, believe in Jesus, and are trying to do good things with their life, being steered and to justify doing really bad and harmful things. And so we just want to point things out so that you don't become one of those, and you can live your religion and have complete positivity come from that, complete love, positivity, peace from that, and not get your religious beliefs hijacked into doing something that ends up being really detrimental, really damaging, really hurtful, ultimately leading to people dying and spreading hate and suffering around the world, because none of us really want that. I don't think anybody that's Christian really wants that. And so we need to really take a hard look at what are the outcomes of what the people in power are doing, and are our religious beliefs that are well-founded and sincere being hijacked? So that's just a question for all of us to answer and about our own friends and family. And if they are, then we need to do something about it. So,
yeah. I'm doing something about it. I'm doing something about it right now. And so is Alex Scott. Thanks for the $10. He says, thanks for this presentation. I appreciate it. I was feeling a little too happy today. This did the trick. Well, take heart. Oh, stick with the nuance. So I have a plan. I really think that a revolution is before us, and things will get worse, but they will get better. So
yeah,
I have some more things I want to say on this in future episodes, but if you guys aren't already subscribed, you know you loved this episode. You thought, wow, I want to see more like this. The subscribe button is available for you. Hitting the like button, just one little click right there. And I would really appreciate it if you guys would share this episode. I don't always ask you guys to share your episode, but this can get out to more people on Facebook, wherever you may be. I really think that this is information that a mass amount of people could really use and digest, wouldn't you say? So our donors are amazing. Thank you guys so much for the super chats and the donations you've sent in so far. We cannot do this without our donors. We have a niche audience, and we like to keep it kind of niche because we want to talk about the topics that we're passionate about. So if you can hit the links in our description, donor box, couple bucks a month, recurring donations, they go a long way. Also, tax season is coming up, and if you need to unload a bunch of cash, it's actually the Nuance Hug Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit, tax deductible in the United States. So why put your money in crypto or some offshore bank account when you can just, you know, get some tax incentives that way? Our Venmo is also in the description, as well as our Patreon link. So that is this episode of Timmy Did. Sorry, I didn't say. Nope. I look at you and I said Timmy of. I have two podcasts. The other one's called The Mormon History Hoedown. And Ryan, any other final words to leave the people with? Thanks so, so much. Wasn't that killer, you guys?
Nope. We love you. Thanks for giving us a chance to be a part of change.
All right. Like I always say, don't let somebody else ruin your life. You ruin it for you. All right. See you guys next time. Bye.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.